Well, this will be great. I look forward to learning a little more about your background with this, talking about this, and putting it out there for the viewers, and additionally about this movie that's coming out here. So the introduction that I was going to give, of course, Richard, you being a top international checkers player, somebody who's won some big-time championships, I know that last October you were in a great match for the Go As You Please Championship of the World. I know that if my research is correct here, that you've won the U.S. Championship for that classification previously, that you've played all over the world from Barbados to Beijing, right around the time of the Olympics in 2008, player representative for the American Checker Federation, that you're involved. We talked about this a little bit off air, administratively as well as a player, kind of wearing both hats in that and able to talk about both sides of that. And I know that, again, a lot of the top players in the world are going to be chronicled in this this independent film that's coming out, King Me. So I look forward to talking about all these things here with you tonight. Thus far, was the biographical information correct?
For the most part, just one minor correction. I actually haven't won a U.S. championship. I did win a world qualifier championship. And that was in England in 2009. But you had everything else perfect.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, that darn internet. I thought I read somewhere that you'd won the U.S. championship.
Just a junior championship.
Oh, okay. Only.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so you've been playing, I guess, probably on a more, obviously a more casual level in your youth, but you've been playing mm-hmm. checkers most of your life, correct?
That's correct, because my father played, so I was playing in club tournaments at age 9 and started even before then. And I started playing state-level tournaments at age 15, so I've been in a game a good 25 years now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Over the period of 25 years, what's the evolution been, or has it been largely kind of the same? Have the scale of these tournaments kind of changed? Have there been more that have come up over time in a bigger scale, or has it been kind of static over that period of time?
I would say what has changed most significantly is our game has gotten more international. Mm-hmm. In the early days, it was basically U.S. and Great Britain. We've had an international match series with them for over 100 years. But in recent decades, the game has expanded to other countries, and I suppose they've always had players, we just didn't always know about them, but now we have a world tournaments where we determine someone to challenge for the world title. So it's no longer just USA and British people playing for this. We now have players from South Africa. We have an Italian playing for the world title this year, and we've now even made it into the International World Mind Sports Games beginning in 2008 in Beijing, where we had 19 countries represented. So that's pretty exciting just to see how many all these different countries coming into the game.
In terms of the international side of this, you kind of anticipated my next question a little bit in terms of what their exposure has been to the game over time. First and foremost, you would have to suppose that in the last 15 years or so with the internet, has that been the key thing, obviously, that's kind of helped bring you together with the international folks?
It certainly has helped. I mean, number one, the internet gives you a chance for online playing, which is great if you don't have anyone near you that you can play with. And secondly, it's just easier to communicate information by email and with all these very far away nations just to try and organize these international events. So that certainly has helped aid the process.
In terms of your growing exposure to those playing the international game, does it seem as though their play has kind of grown over the course of the last 25 years, or is it just more of a growing awareness of what they were doing all along?
It's hard to say. It may very well be both. But I know, for example, we've learned in the last 25 years, Barbados has tremendous players. We had an international match with them in 2004, and USA just barely won, even though our population is so much greater than them. And also, South Africa is another country that just has tremendous players, and I think they've always had them, but we just didn't know about it until recently, until one of their players came over to our national and opened our eyes as to what other countries have in terms of players.
To your point about Barbados, is that something where they have perhaps a greater percentage of their population who plays seriously? Do you think that's what it is, and that's what allows them to compete against America?
Yes, I agree with that. It's just everyone there on the street. I mean, you walk down the street, people are playing checkers. Everyone knows their world champion down there by name. He's just a celebrity down there. And fortunately, I can't say the same for Americans when they probably don't know the name of our world champion, but it's just a very high percentage of the population plays a game down there for whatever reason. It's just part of their culture, and it seems to be that way in South Africa as well.
Well, one of the things, of course, that's very unique about the checkers circuit is that somebody like yourself, and I know that this isn't the case with all of the top players out there, but you happen to be very involved administratively here, player representative for the American Checker Federation, and helping to set up these events. So I know that we've had some great events here in the flagship city for the Sports Talk Network in Cleveland, Ohio. I know you've been greatly involved in that. Talk about what that's like, because there are probably not many other parallels to what anybody does in any other field where they're both the top player and working to set the things up. It's got to be exhausting, but at the same point in time, probably very exciting to help bring these things about.
That's correct. I'm currently an officer with the American Checker Federation, which oversees tournaments and has been doing that since about 1948. And some of the duties I have is, number one, just to help provide rules at tournaments, be in communication with the players. We have a website at usacheckers.com that has a calendar of events and all kinds of information, items for sale, and a forum for members, as well as news. So I help with that. We've actually had world title matches in Cleveland for 4 years in a row, and that streak will continue this year. And someone has to organize these events, like be in communication with the players and get their hotel arrangements and flights in place. So I certainly have been active in that. I'm also active on the world body. We have a World Checker and Draft Federation that oversees world title challengers and world title matches, so I sit on that executive board as well. So that certainly keeps me busy. And, of course, in the meantime, I still have to play good checkers at tournaments as well and keep my game sharp.
Do you feel like does it ever get to a point of disruptive of your focus sometimes when you're at a tournament? I wouldn't begin to compare my experiences to yours, but probably the closest I could come was previously, back when I was club pro at the Cleveland Athletic Club in the bowling center. They would have a competition of the club pro in Cleveland against the one in Detroit when they had the big annual event. And I found that when it was in Cleveland, everybody always thought home advantage. I always got drilled because I was exhausted. I'm running ragged. Everything was just a mess. I go up to Detroit, and everybody always thought it would be harder up there. I get up there, and I sailed. I mean, I just the 1 year, I just it absolutely destroyed the guy after getting destroyed the year before. So it was kind of counterintuitive, but it just taught me that sometimes when you're involved that much in it and with making things happen, it can kind of get in the way a little bit. Is that ever the case with you on the events where you're most involved organizationally, or are you able to kind of put that aside?
Yeah. Now, I definitely hear with what you're saying, because there have been some local events where I feel I haven't had the best tournaments just because I was doing some administrative things. And I've had good tournaments too, so it doesn't happen every time. And so I think there's other factors as well, just how well rested you are and just how much you've been in practice. But I would certainly agree it's a contributing factor.
Yeah, it's got to make it, somewhat compromising on the focus, more so for some people. I'm the kind of person where my focus, I guess, can be a little more easily disrupted. But I know you. We talked about this a little bit off air as well, that one of the things as the circuit, as awareness is growing, and of course we'll be talking about this movie also that's coming out, but there's more of a pathway now, I understand, for sponsors to get involved as the awareness is growing and everything. So why don't you talk about that and some of the efforts to really help monetize this game and really make it more attractive to the top players.
Okay. We have a national tournament every year and a world title match every year. We do play for prize money, and these prize funds can range anywhere from, $5,000 to $10,000 and sometimes more than that. We have a local firm here called Evergreen Uni that has sponsored our recent world title matches. And we've also received some endowments over the years from people that have passed on and bequeathed money to us. So basically, we have a fund that earns interest, and that money goes to our national tournaments. So we do have some minimal sponsorship out there. We're very grateful to have that. But we're certainly continuing to look for bigger sponsors and bigger prize funds for our tournaments. And there's a need out there because we think this is a great game, and we think bigger prize money will draw even more players to find this game.
Absolutely. And is there anything that's in the works as far as, particularly with this movie that's going to be coming out, any future attempts at streaming any of the tournaments via any potential means like this over the internet? Are you guys, I would imagine at some point along the way in the future, you guys will be doing that. Is that anywhere on the near term as far as figuring out the logistics?
Yeah, actually, that's kind of where we are right now. We're thinking about doing that. Basically, at this point, what you've seen from world tournaments is someone might go in after the round is over and put some results on the internet, like at the American Checker Federation site or somewhere else, but there's been really no real-time watching of games. But this year for the world title match, it's going to be coming to Cleveland. We are going to try something different. We have someone, another person coming in that's going to set up a live internet feed so the checker community can peek in on the board and kind of see what the position is. So that's something new we're going to try this year, and hopefully that concept will grow.
Well, we may get a little bit of a taste of that tonight, not in terms of the level of competition on my end here, but we will be demonstrating for the viewers in a little bit here what that would look like on camera, one potential way, since we now have our new HD cameras in the studio, and this is one of our best ways to try this thing out yet and make them look good. Before we get to that, I want to talk about, again, this documentary. One of the things that we had planned potentially for tonight was to show a clip of this. Found out subsequently that might kind of screw up the efforts to get it into the film festivals, and we don't want to do that. So we'll just talk about it. We do have a link up to it on our rundown here tonight for the King Me movie, and specifically for anybody that wants to go to that, it's kingmemovie.com. But this, I understand that everything that you guys have been doing, or at least a lot of these things anyways, have been getting chronicled by the cameras, and that everything has been kind of assembled here. So why don't you talk about that? It sounds like an interesting concept.
Yes, we had this is a media studio group that's local to Cleveland. They started filming us a few years ago at many of our tournaments. And basically, one purpose of the movie is certainly to introduce people to the game of checkers. But the main theme of the movie is a fellow by the name of Lubabalo Kanlo from South Africa. This is a fellow that lives in absolute poverty, and he came over to the United States in 2007, entered our national tournament in Las Vegas, and actually won a tournament on his first attempt.
Oh, wow.
And then he came back in the fall for the world tournament that was also held in Las Vegas, and he won that one as well. So by doing that, he earned the right to challenge for the world title. And I won't give away any more of the ending than that, but that just sets the stage for the movie of just how someone in absolute poverty can come and win these two great U.S. events. So it's a really compelling story. So at this point, the movie did have a private showing last November at a Cleveland theater, so I did attend that. So most of the movie is about this fellow from South Africa and his compelling story. I'm in the movie a number of times, sort of as a supporting character, just talking about the American Checker Federation and lending some commentary on the games as well as some of the organizational things. So I appear in a movie in quite a number of scenes as well. So all I can say, it's a fantastic movie. I'm not exactly sure where it's going to end up. It might be a film festival or maybe HBO, and I think that's what they're sorting out right now. But I'm anxious for it to get out because we really hope this will help promote the game of checkers.
Well, that's tremendous. And I know from, again, what I had found out previously that there is some hope still at this point in time for the film festival circuit and trying to win some awards there, huh?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that'll definitely be something to look forward to. As I say, we've got it linked here at kingmemovie.com. You can find that right off of our rundown here tonight. So what we'll do, we will demonstrate here for the cameras, and I understand if time allows also, we'll also get into some different spectacular moves here for the camera. I know you had spoken of that, Richard. What we're going to do, I'm going to play a game. I had volunteered to jump on the grenade here and lose in what will probably be record time. But again, with the theme of the show essentially being first and foremost, nothing is off topic. And then from there, with our kind of lounge theme conversationally here. You know, anybody who's willing to engage personally in the lounge theme for the betterment of the show is not going to be overly concerned with their dignity and how quickly they might lose at a checkers game. So I'm going to do that. What we're going to do afterwards, and again, you being one of the top players in the world, probably be a buzzsaw again. However, more competition than myself. One of our behind-the-scenes show contributors, one of my very good friends, who for a long time I've been learning a lot from in the world of football, particularly from him, and somebody who has always, you know, put some good ideas in my head, and one of the smart guys I know on the subject of football and many other things, Bob Benek. We'll bring him in for his first on-camera appearance here tonight, hopefully the first of many. But I didn't even know until recently. Good friend of mine, longtime friend. I've known him forever. Didn't know he was big into checkers himself. So this is actually a chance for him to play one of the top players in the world. It would be kind of funny if I lasted longer than Bob. I don't think that'll happen, but that would be rather amusing. And I dare say at next year's fantasy football draft, the subject probably would come up once we get three beers into it, Bob. But Bob being over in the control room right now, he'll join us after I get done playing. We're going to switch. We have a camera that should be queued up here. All right, there we go. I'm looking at it. And all right, I think that gives you a little bit of a sense here. Let me see if I can do a little bit better on the placement. It's hard to tell which way to go. Okay, pull it towards me. All right, that's pretty good right there. That's about as good as it's going to be. So, all right, for essentially go as you please, checkers, which I guess is the form that most people are familiar with. Start us off here, Richard. How do we do this? I think you had alluded to something with some cards.
There's two styles of play that the American Checker Federation commonly recognizes. There's what we call go as you please, and that's what everyone's most familiar with. Whoever has the dark colors moves first, and you can just make any opening move you wish. What's happened with that, however, is everyone tended to make the same strongest opening moves over and over, and we tended to have a lot of repeat games. So another style of play emerged called three-move restriction, and that deals with a special deck of cards. Basically, there's 156 unique ways you can move three checkers. For example, the opening might look something like this, and this is all determined with cards. And basically, three moves are randomly drawn like this, and then both players would play from this position.
Okay.
So there's more scope to the game that way. So we actually have a world champion at three-move restriction and a different world champion at the go-as-you-please style of play, because this three-move restriction tends to have a lot more scope and takes a little different approach to the game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think you said the colored one starts off, correct? So you would have first move?
Yes, the dark colored starts out.
Okay.
So I'll make this move.
And the one thing we don't have a graphic for yet, as we would for a sporting event, if this were a sporting event on regular TV as opposed to web TV, it might perhaps say Rich Beckwith with red checkers, Rick Morris, white checkers. Having said that, I'm very confident that, you know, 5-10 seconds from now, you know, as this starts to take shape, you'll see which way it goes. I'm starting the stopwatch on myself at this moment here with my first move. Okay. And it's funny because I've seen different examples where people talk about thinking, you know, as many moves ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what you're doing, Rich. And it's one of these things where obviously, and it'll be interesting to see if that's the case with Bob when he plays. I can say for me, I mean, it's at least at this stretch of the game, thinking zero moves ahead. And that's mm-hmm. Now I have to ask you, because mm-hmm. there are some right. checkers games I've played on the internet where jumping is mandatory. Is that how it is in Go As You Please?
That's correct. Yeah. Every checker program or checker book, you do have to take jumps.
Okay.
Now that's important because a lot of people for some reason don't understand that and don't play that way, but there really is much more strategy to the game.
Okay.
Just knowing you have to jump, you have to be very careful where you go.
All right. Well, I'll ignore,
as do I.
I'll ignore the fact that you set me up here and say that I got the lead, however
okay.
briefly. Are you looking at this, Bob? I'm okay. up 1-0.
Okay, so I have a choice of jumps, but I do have to take a jump.
Okay, that didn't last long.
so it's just an even exchange.
Okay.
I'll jump it to the center.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'll give you another one here.
Okay. There we go. All right. Again,
I'll take two, though.
So. Oh! <All right. laughs> And, yeah, I can't do anything about that. Okay. I can momentarily block you, I guess, from jumping me momentarily. But, yeah, it's... I'm running out of room pretty quickly. The thing that I'm noticing here that's remarkable is, and I guess this comes from thinking a lot of moves ahead, you're showing a lot of restraint. There's a lot of your pieces that seem a lot, even if it's just an optical illusion to me, that seem a lot closer to where they started than mine.
Yes, well, I'll give you this one.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
Now I'll take these.
Oh! Okay. Didn't see that coming. Totally okay. Didn't see that coming.
Okay. Let's see. Now, if you could king me.
Oh, yeah,
My
bad. All right.
That's fine. I'll just come out here.
Okay. Here. Yeah. Should have known. Can't move that. Okay. And I literally, at this point already, if I'm seeing this correctly, don't have a move I can make that won't lead to my being jumped or leaving it open for you to be kinged. So, all right.
Okay.
Ah, both of those. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that one gets kinged. Okay. Can't move that. Can't move that. Can't move that in either direction. Mm-hmm. Can't move that. Ah, okay. Well, whatever. Okay.
Okay. And now, you did pick out the correct move there, so.
Really?
Yeah, good for you.
That was the least amount of damage? Okay.
No, that was the best move you could have made because it gives you a king, so. But I just want to see if you could see it.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. So you get a double. Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
No, you have a.
Oh, I get okay. to.
You have a double jump.
Oh, okay. Double jump. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't see that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only thing I can do,
It's called,
I guess I was blocked in there.
Yeah, that's one trapping two pieces, you can't go backwards.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so, mm-hmm. All right, is that officially considered the end right there? Okay, yeah. All right, so that was, I'm going to let this go just a little longer because I started at my first move rather than yours. So let's stand about, let's say 5 minutes, 15 seconds. A little longer than I thought, but probably only because of a little bit of deliberation on my part. So as we get the table reassembled here, I'll be waving in a good friend, Bob Benick here, one of my prime advisors and fonts on the world of football. And I will give credit as I'm reassembling the table here. I give credit every year in our fantasy football, or not our fantasy football guide, our NFL draft guide, the NFL draft game that we advise you to play every year, the participatory game during the draft, where you get more points sequentially as you go through, as you get them right. In other words, the later you go in the round, the more points you accrue. Conceptualized by Bob, a very good game conceptualizer, I must say. So, going to be waving him in. Come on in, Bob, and you can take the captain's chair here, and I will move over to here as we get ready to have the next game come in. So, it will now be.
Hi, Bob.
How are you, Rich?
Hi.
Bob Benick with the white checkers here, and Richard with the red ones. And actually, I tell you what, Bob, can you hand me my phone over there? I'm going to run a stopwatch again here, and thank you.
Yes, this is a handmade board that a former Illinois state champion made for me about 20 years ago. So it's something that was handmade with tiles and laid into a wood frame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is neat.
So. Okay, now I have to take a jump, and you have to take a jump back, your choice. Uh-huh.
And we can glean already that Bob has played substantially more than me.
he's doing all right.
Not necessarily. I'm going to have to do some delays here. Stalling techniques.
If only there were an equivalent of the four corners offense here.
Yes. Okay. And checkers is a very highly strategic game. Even one false move very early in the game could beat you 30 moves down the road. Now he's playing pretty well here so far, but we'll.
I can say watching it, I definitely see the difference with somebody who's used to playing in this. I mean, it won't change the outcome, but it's a. I mean, Bob's working a plan clearly a lot more than I was. I think we can clearly say, I mean, Bob, you are making the most of your Walter Mitty moment here. Yes. Playing with, you're looking good thus far. I mean, you're holding your own, pal. It's interesting too, Bob, that you saved the clump on the side there. That's, and now you're starting to disperse that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's, boy, once he's been kinged, now he can chase you.
That's correct. Exactly, yeah. The yeah. power of a king.
You're not giving me.
Yeah. Yeah,
there,
all right.
Okay. You did get a King Rick, so I could be failing in that regard. I'm closer. But
just to get a near equivalent, though, I mean, you've got approximately the same number out there, albeit one of his is a king, but mm-hmm. that's.
You know, a lot of times I'm asked how many moves I can see ahead, and mm-hmm. early in a game it might be. You know, 10 to 20 moves, but sometimes in the end game, it could be even 20, 30, 40 moves for some famous positions. Oh. So there's these tournament checker players really do know a lot, and they practice for years. It's not an easy game to learn, but it's a fun game to play at any level.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right, yeah, you pretty much had to sacrifice one mm-hmm. there at some point.
Yeah. Okay, well, that will give you a king. Yeah. Well, maybe not. If you had gone this way, you would have had a king.
Oh, but, yeah. No
uh-huh. And now, yeah,
now
either,
yeah,
either
now
way
stuck.
You go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But, very good. Very good. Well, uh-huh. that was something. Rich, you were talking about something off here as far as a yes. Potential move, almost sort of the equivalent of a checker's trick shot here.
Yes.
Why don't you set this up?
Set this up, and maybe if you can play
we'll
the
see.
Other side here.
Sure. It's a thing where ultimately, Bob,
it's,
you
it's
lasted about a minute longer than me, but part of it was I was probably going slower than you were, too. So I think that doesn't really show the extent of how much better you did than me. That was very good, the way that you took him down to the wire there, and
missing something here.
And this is amazing that you can recreate this just from memory. All right, we'll get the board finalized in a second here, and so this has been a very enjoyable first segment. I will just note while we're at it here, just promotionally, coming up on deck, the results of our poll of America's worst president to celebrate President's Day, celebrate ironically, of course, that being yesterday. We did take a little internal poll. The results are going to be unveiled, and I understand that Belfi created a graphic for this as well for America's worst president. We'll have that coming up in the next segment and much more later on in the show. So this is – all right, take it away, Rich.
Okay. Now, mainly this is a bit of a setup for Bob, but this is a – I put up a position here, and this is – the position is white to move and win, so white can force a win with this position, even though red has two kings, even though the board is full of pieces. So we'll just play this like a normal game. So I'm going to start off by going here, and you have a jump with your king. Mm-hmm. Now I'll trade you here. Mm-hmm. And you have a jump with your king there. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'll slide out here. Gives you another jump. So
great jump.
Triggering a jump. Every,
that's right, every time.
Move.
That's
okay.
Correct. So, yeah, all his moves are forced to this point. Now I'll scoot out of the way. So you have your next jump. Okay, and I'll come down here. Now you have a king jump.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll take these two. So if you could crown him, and your other king has a jump now. Mm-hmm. And I'll take these two. Okay. All right, now I'll give you this one. I'll come here.
Wow.
There
tick,
we go.
Tic-tac-toe.
If you want to keep going, it won't go long. But
inevitable, yes. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Okay.
It's like a Terminator-type situation when he's got the king. You are going to be pursued there relentlessly. But this, that you were right. That did build to something very good there at the end. That I don't think I've not seen that just in my rough checkers playing anything that I've seen. Bob, have you ever seen anything like that playing?
No, pretty incredible how you just remembered all those positions. What's this guy trying to
bluff? Oh. It really was, but well, this has been an enjoyable first segment, Rich. Just you know, take this chance here, put out anything else we didn't cover sufficiently. But again, American Checkers Federation, we've got the link up here at on the website tonight at the FDHLounge.com. The King Me movie, we've linked to that as well. So talk about. I know we've got the World Championship matches coming to Cleveland this year. Anything at all that you want to cover still?
Okay, I'll just mention a couple events coming up to the Cleveland area in. In late July, July 26th through 30th, we have the National Checker Tournament. We'll come to Medina, Ohio, at the Roadway Inn. That will be a five-day event. And we also have a one-day Blitz Tournament. That's something new this year. So Blitz would be where you play a game in 5 minutes with time clocks. So that's coming up in July, and that's an open tournament to anyone that's an ACF member, and you can join at registration. And something very special we're working on is a world title match between the world champion Alex Moiseev from Dublin, Ohio. He'll be taking on someone from Italy who's a new challenger. His name is Michele Borghetti. He won the world tournament last year, so he's coming to USA to challenge for the three-move world title. This is a three-move restriction style of openings. And that's going to be held August 13th through 23rd. The match will take place. We've actually got two venues that have opened up their doors for us to play, and that's the Cleveland Agora and also the Cleveland Public Library. The Cleveland Public Library in their special collections has the John G. White Chess and Checkers collection. So having a world title match in their facility will tie in very nicely to checkers. And we'll also be playing at the Agora, so that's in August. I'm helping to coordinate those events.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I look forward to checking out at least one of these things here during the course of the year. And certainly as things go along, we'll track the progress of the movie and how that's doing towards its release and everything that's happening. And, Rich, we'd love to have you back in studio. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure to have you in tonight.
I'd be glad to be back anytime.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll take you up on that. I'm glad you could come in here tonight. We'll definitely reprise this here in the course of 2011.